Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Our broadcast for today is entitled, Some Counsel to the Quarantined. Well, as you are very aware, right now in our country, we're facing, for us, what is an unprecedented pandemic of the COVID-19 coronavirus. We have, if you're anything like us, spent a great portion of your week, far more than normal, at home, in your home, with your children. It's a time of great uncertainty for us in America and also in the world. And so, with that thought in mind, we would like to share with you a few suggestions for all of us to consider and perhaps to implement in our discipleship as we are indeed quarantined, as we are sheltering in place, as it were. Prior to going into the Word of God, we want to invite you to join us digitally each Sunday morning at 10:30 for our live stream at the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/Flint River Church and like the church page, follow the church page, subscribe to it, and each Sunday morning at 10:30, you can watch a digital worship service that, though it isn't the same, and it will never be the same as gathering with the saints of God to worship God on Sunday, it does provide you with an opportunity to hear hymn singing and to hear the Word of God read, to hear prayers that are being offered, and to listen to a sermon. This past Sunday, we played about 20 minutes of a cappella singing, and there was a skeleton crew of people there with us in the church, about 6 or 7 people. We played a pre-produced song service of hymns from our radio archive here on Words of Grace, and then live in the moment, I took the pulpit and shared thoughts from the Word of God. We delivered a sermon. I'll tell you that that was one of the most heartbreaking Sundays for me in the almost 14 years that I've served here as pastor, because the building was nearly empty. And it just broke my heart to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and have an empty building. But we had a great response on the live stream, and we would invite you to make use of that resource to pray that God would continue to bless that as we attempt to bring His Word through those means each Sunday morning. And we do most certainly look forward to the day when this threat is behind us and we can once again go up to the house of the Lord and worship Him all together as a collective church body. The backdrop for today's message comes from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. This is a very famous portion of Scripture, but I want to back up to verse 13 to give you not only what the Lord says in verse 14, but what He said that prompted it in verse 13. Now, God is speaking here in 2 Chronicles 7 to Solomon. The temple of God had been dedicated in the previous chapter. Solomon had built God's temple, and as he dedicates it, as it's consecrated, Solomon stands before it and he stretches out his arms and he prays to God on behalf of the people and for that place to be a place where God would reveal Himself unto them. And amazingly so, God revealed Himself in such a powerful way that even the priests were not able to go about their work. They couldn't enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled His house. This was an amazing time. After Solomon concludes all of this, the Lord comes to him by night and He speaks to him. One of the things that Solomon had prayed was, if the children of Israel find themselves under divine chastening and judgment, that if they pray in or to the temple, towards the temple to God, that God would hear them and answer them and restore them. And so God comes to him and He says in verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a beloved passage of Scripture, and many times it's read without verse 13. Now, we should be very clear to say that verse 13 doesn't mean that every calamity is caused as a judgment by the Lord. No, we live in a sin-cursed earth. Naturally, because of the sin of Adam and the curse that we were given as men, the earth brings forth thorns and thistles. It's a place of suffering. By the sweat of our face do we till the ground, as it were, until we go back to the dust from whence we were taken. We know that because of the sin of Adam, that women would bear children in sorrow, and their desire should be to their husband. There are consequences to the sin of Adam, and many times famines and plagues and weather problems are simply the result of Adam's transgression, and they are common to man. But at the same time, we would be negligent if we left off the possibility that sometimes plagues and other terrible things in the world are not God's judgment upon us. God, in the Old Testament, sent all sorts of judgments. There were times when snakes filled the camp of Israel and bit people for murmuring, and they died from the snake bites. There were times that God opened the ground to swallow people alive. We all remember the plagues that God sent on Egypt, turning water into blood, destroying the crops with weather and with creatures, and even passing through Egypt, slaying the firstborn of Egypt. God sent those plagues to judge Egypt for their harsh treatment of his people Israel. Well, God tells us here, if I do this, and you might ask the question, do you think this virus is sent of God as a judgment? I do not know the mind of the Lord. Romans chapter 11 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Do you know the mind of the Lord? Job thought he knew the mind of the Lord, and God showed up in the latter portion of the book of Job and began to ask Job, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I created Behemoth and Leviathan? Where were you, Job? And Job took his hand and put it over his mouth. We dare not assume the motive or the actions of Almighty God unless the Word of God has informed us to that. And since, obviously, the Word of God hasn't informed us about coronavirus, we simply say we don't know. But here's the thing that is important for you today. Whether it's judgment or it's just common to man, our reaction should always be the same. When terrible things happen in the world, we are to humble ourselves, we are to pray, we are to turn from our wicked ways, and we are to seek God's face, whether it be because we're being judged, and believe me, with millions upon millions of babies being aborted in the United States from Roe v. Wade until today, we deserve God's judgment. The mockery that we have made of the institution of marriage, as a country, we deserve judgment. But at the same time, again, suffering is part of living in this sin-cursed earth, so it may or may not be that this is a judgment. But regardless, our reaction is to be the same. We are to humble ourselves. We are to pray. We are to seek God. And beloved, we are to turn from our wicked ways. This verse is often quoted. Without those words, the turning from our wicked ways, we all have wicked ways we can turn from. Now, it's in the spirit of this that I want to share some things with you today. God says if bad things are happening in the world, whether it be a famine or a pestilence, by the way, the word pestilence means epidemic. If there's an epidemic in the world, if there's a drought, if there's a wave of locusts that go through and destroy the crops so that you have nothing to eat or very little to eat, what can we do? Well, God gives us his counsel here on what to do, and it's to humble ourselves, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and to pray. But what can we do in specific as the body of Christ in this particular moment? And that's what I want to speak to today. The first thing that I want to share with you is that stressful times call for an increased awareness of charity. And when I say charity, I don't have reference to giving to organizations that help those that are downcast. Now, that is a part of what we ought to do in a moment such as this. But when I say charity, I mean charity as in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean charity as in one of the English words that translates from agape, the Greek word for love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am become nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What then is charity, you might ask? Well, the Oxford English Dictionary defines it as such, and this is a simplified definition, but it is the disposition to judge hopefully of another's intents and actions and to make allowances for their shortcomings. I memorized that definition over a decade ago, and when I think about charity from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that is the definition that often comes to mind. The disposition to judge hopefully of another's intents and actions. This is why love covers a multitude of sins in the Word of God. It's why we're exhorted to love. When you love someone, you make allowances for their shortcomings, and that is what type of people we are to be. After all, that's what God has done for us. God overlooks all of our iniquity. He sent His Son to die for and pay for our iniquity as our propitiation. It pleased the Father to bruise Him. He imputed unto Him all of our iniquity upon the cross. And so we're commanded to forgive even each other as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We are to be people who are charitable people because of what God has done for us. Stressful times, then, call for an increase in charity. Now we've read what we are, even if we're impressive religiously without charity, from these early verses in 1 Corinthians 13. But listen to what charity does. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. We often talk about patience as long-suffering, and to us in our 2020 language, yes, many times patience does mean long-suffering. However, when the Word of God speaks about patience, it has reference to enduring persecutions, to being faithful in the midst of tribulation. Long-suffering, however, is the biblical doctrine of, for lack of a theological way to express this, putting up with things that we would rather not put up with, or people whom we would rather not put up with. For instance, God endures with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction in Romans chapter 9. God endures with long-suffering the vessels of wrath. He puts up with them with long-suffering. He suffers long with them. Charity suffers long in the sense that what we would say, charity is patient. When we're charitable with someone, we're patient with them. We don't bite their head off. We make allowances for their shortcomings. And I believe that that definition is why the KJV translators use the word charity rather than simply the word love, because they're focusing on a nuance of that definition in the original language. It suffers long. It is kind. It envieth not. It isn't jealous, in other words. It vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. To be puffed up means that we're arrogant and proud many times because of what we know or what we think we know. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity, being charitable, means that we don't sit around thinking evil thoughts about other people. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And by that, he means that there are things in this world that have come to an end and shall come to an end, and yet the greatest of these is charity, because charity, unlike faith, unlike hope, will continue even throughout all eternity as we live in the love, the agape love, of our Heavenly Father who sent His Son into the world to die for us. We will experience the love of God for eternity. Our hope will be realized, and we will no longer have faith because we will see God as He is. We will have all knowledge, knowing even as we are known, and yet charity will endure forever. And so we are exhorted to charity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Stressful times call for an increased awareness of charity. Now, parents, as we think about that, I want you to think about your wife, husbands. Husbands, think about your wife. Wives, think about your husbands. And I want you also, parents, to think about your children. Everyone in your household is as stressed about this, more than likely, as you are. We oftentimes don't think about the little ones in our home in a time like this, but imagine if your children go to school. Now, we homeschool, so to us, this doesn't look a whole lot different than normal life. I saw several jokes this week on social media saying that times like this quarantine might reveal to some of us that we really don't get out of the house a lot. In the case of my children, we homeschool, and so their life is not as heavily impacted. But it's a stressful thing for children to miss school for half a year, and suddenly their school is closed, and they're at home, and they don't know what's going on, and they're having to homeschool when they never have before. That's stressful to them. They hear when you watch the news at night or in your car. They're on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, and some of them Twitter. They hear and see the things that are going on around us, and that causes them to be stressed. Might I just call on all of us to increase our awareness of the need to be charitable one to each other in a time like this, to be more understanding of what other people are feeling, because it is a stressful time. We're all concerned. Many people are worried, and we need to be charitable, patient, long-suffering one with another. I'd encourage you to meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over the coming weeks as we endure this national trial. Point number two for today, set a prayer schedule. Set a prayer schedule. This is a time that we need to pray. What did God say to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14? To humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. I would encourage you to set a schedule for when to pray. Now, some people would say, well, isn't that quenching the spirit? But it isn't quenching the spirit at all. You see, Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 actually set aside prayer time three times a day, every day, and he opened his chamber towards Jerusalem, opened his windows in his chamber, set his face toward Jerusalem, and prayed. Now, this is interesting that he set his face towards Jerusalem, because as we already noticed, as we commented on 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon prays for the temple, he asks God for God to hear them if they pray towards that place. Now, you might think, are they worshiping the temple? No. Remember that the holiest of holies contained the Ark of the Covenant, and within the holiest of holies, above the Ark of the Covenant, God would manifest himself to them. And so there in their minds, literally praying to where God was present in a special way in the world. And so Daniel here, he opens his window, he kneels, he prays towards Jerusalem, just like you can read in 2 Chronicles in Solomon's prayer, and three times a day he prayed upon his knees. Daniel didn't just decide haphazardly to pray. He had a prayer schedule. Might I encourage us to have a prayer schedule and to pray to God for our country, for our families, for our health, for our churches? Please pray for the spiritual health of your churches. It is so dangerous. It is so very dangerous for the saints of God to be isolated the way that we are right now. We are in dangerous territory when we are isolated. What does a wolf do to a sheep that has wandered away from the fold? Sheep are in a fold. They're in a flock. Sheep are animals that herd together. They're not animals that wander the woods by themselves. And when a sheep does end up away from the fold, it finds itself the victim of a predator. That is all of us right now in our isolation. So I would encourage us to pray for the spiritual health of our churches. Just concerning the priority of prayer, in the book of Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives a parable about a woman who bothers a judge over and over and over before he finally gives in to her and punishes those who had done her wrong. Well, Jesus gave that parable, the parable of the unjust judge, in Luke 18, with the intended message that men ought always to pray and never to faint. That's Luke 18 and verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, there's another lesson of that parable, and you read it in verse 7, that God will avenge his elect, his chosen, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. And that's true. God will avenge his elect. That's another point of this parable, but as Jesus gives it, he gives it, as Luke narrates for us, to bring home the point that we ought to always pray and not to faint. We ought to be praying people now more than ever. Let this be a time of national revival because we have sought his face and we have prayed. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we read the simple, brief exhortation to pray without ceasing. We pray without ceasing. As a part of the battle that we have with the world, wrestling against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of God. As he gives us this armor, the loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You notice as he concludes the armor of God, as he speaks about our spiritual battle, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We ought to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and we ought to watch and make supplication for the saints with all perseverance. In other words, we don't give up. We endure in praying one for another as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We ought to set a prayer schedule and commit ourselves to the spiritual discipline of prayer. Number three, as we think about spiritual disciplines, we also need to read Scripture and ingest the Word of God each and every day. I call my morning time now, as I get out of bed and get ready, brush my teeth, take a shower, walk into my living room, grab a cup of coffee, and turn on the television. I call it damage report time. And as I sit down and watch the news, there's usually a press conference that's soon to come on, and I watch the press conferences from various governors and the president, and it is damage report time. Let's learn what has happened in the world while I was sleeping. Might I suggest more Scripture and less social media? More Scripture and less damage report time? More Scripture and less doom and gloom? We need to be informed, and as a pastor, I feel it is my duty to stay as informed as anyone else in the country about this, because I need to be able to better lead the flock that God has placed me over as an overseer and an under-shepherd to Him. I'm their pastor. He has called me to be a shepherding person in their lives, and I want to know how to better help them. And so, yes, I need the damage report, but at the same time, I need the Word of God, and you need the Word of God. May we back away from social media and the newspaper and the news reports and spend more of our time studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God. If you've never read through the Bible, I would encourage you to use this as an opportunity. And there are some great Bible reading plans out there, but at the same time, when I read through the Bible, I started with the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and I read through the last verse of Revelation. And then I went to the Old Testament, and I started in Genesis 1:1, and I read through the last verse of Malachi. And that is also a great way to read the Word of God, though I started with the New Testament because, obviously, we are in the New Testament era. Beyond reading, it's always great to study the Word of God and to dig deep and to cross-reference passages, so on and so forth. But may we study Scripture in this time of quarantine. Number four, and this is in particular to dads, if you are in the household with your children, and certainly this applies to mothers as well. But brethren, lead your family in the Lord in this time. And by that, I would encourage and commend unto you studying the Word of God with your family in your home. Maybe one of your scheduled prayer times each day could be before bed as you read the Word of God. Maybe you can schedule some Bible reading time. Maybe you can read the Word of God to your family and study Scripture before you go to sleep. We have lost touch of this in America, but the saints of God of old have studied the Word of God in their homes with their families. Fathers knew their responsibility of teaching their children the Word of God. Now, by the way, where do you get this teaching children the Word of God? One passage is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Another place that you could reference, though it's in the Old Testament, is still very relevant to us today, is when God commands them to go and to learn the Word of God and speak about the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What does he tell them? You need to talk to your children at all times about the Word of God. We have an excellent opportunity to do this with our family in this time of quarantine. And outside of spiritual things, dads, I would encourage you to go outside and play with your children. We've taken a couple of walks around the block in this quarantine time. Stay away from people, maintain your social isolation distance of more than 6 feet, but spend some time with your family. Go throw a football with your sons. Go outside and watch your kids ride a bicycle. Enjoy the sunlight. Oh, thank God for the beautiful sunshine we have and that we have had some days in recent weeks. Go enjoy being a family. This is a time that American families, especially those who know Christ, can be so much closer as a byproduct of the rat race being taken away from us. But dads, take your children and study the Word of God with them. Be a Christian household. We need that desperately in our times. We can grow closer to the Lord and stronger as families in the midst of this trial. And lastly, point number 5, I would encourage you, as we are all living in quarantine, to help those that are most vulnerable. You know, it's an amazing thing that we can have so much opportunity for social networking and interaction, and at the same time have people who are so lonely in the world today. People scroll through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they see smiling faces and people happy doing things with their family. And if they don't have a family there with them, well, they can become depressed. This is a time when many people will struggle with depression because they are home alone. And so I want to encourage you to give some phone calls to those that are shut in. Talk to those who are alone by themselves in this period of quarantine. But also, as we think about helping those that are most vulnerable, it's a great opportunity for those of us who are young and not as susceptible to the dangers of this disease to go to the store for people who are. I would advise all of us, if we are able-bodied and in good health, to follow proper hygienic recommendations, wash our hands, wear a mask, maybe use curbside pickup at Walmart or some other grocery store, but seek to provide relief for those who are most vulnerable at this time. I think this is one of the things that all churches ought to be doing right now. Those of us that are younger should be helping care for those who are older. Christ is glorified in that. It is beautiful when we do that. Nothing is more Christian than caring for those that we have in our midst. And I'll give an encouragement for those of you who are actively engaged in doing this. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus was describing his children as people who ministered to one another and cared for one another, he describes them as giving meat to the hungry and drink to the thirsty and visiting people when they were in prison. Jesus doesn't just say that you did this to others. He said, you did it unto me. When you visited people, you did it unto me. When you gave people food, you did it unto me. Well, they ask the question when he says, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. They say, when did we do this, Lord? We don't remember doing this. And he told them, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When you care for one of God's children, it is as much as you are caring for Jesus himself, because they are members of the body of Christ. I would encourage us in this moment of national emergency to watch out for those who are most vulnerable in our churches, in our circles of influences, and in our communities. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace today, inviting you to write and let me know that you've received the broadcast, and also to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.